Hey there, folks. Welcome to another exciting episode of Tech on Trial, the podcast where we put the cutting edge technology in a hot seat. I'm your host, Sal, and I have Victor with me straight up from PEI today.
That's right. We're in the East Coast today representing Atlantic Canada.
There you go. So, I mean, today we are talking about NLP and the impact in e-discovery for law firms. Picture this, Victor. Attorneys unleashing the power of AI to dig through the mountains of data and paper and find those legal terms in lightning speed. NLP is leveling up the legal game, no doubt about it. What kind of a, it's a new exciting world. And of course, before we go any further, let's make sure that we remind our audience to subscribe and to stay tuned to all of the episodes that we release. So without further ado, Victor, let's talk about what we have today. So first up, let's talk about this whole NLP and e-discovery. What this NLP thing makes such a big kind of a change in the legal landscape.
Yeah, of course. So generally, I mean, if you take it back to a little further back, NLP is generally the applications of natural language to documents, to text, to things that have been written prior. So it's applying techniques that would make language real for people and then binding those back to things that computers can understand.
I think that's the point.
So you're generally looking to understand, you know, the position of text, what it comes before, what it goes after, the specific intent and meaning of different sentences, paragraphs, and the context they're in.
So speaking of NLP, I mean, it's all bundled up in NLP, NLU, and NLG, where the last letters are processing, which is the general term, natural language processing. You have the understanding of language, so natural language understanding. And what everybody's all up in arms and big hoopla and everybody's singing praises of right now is the G, which is the generative part, so natural language generation.
So this is going to create an impact on the legal field. It takes a lot of the heavy lifting, I guess.
Of course. I mean, if you think back to what many, you know, legal firms, legal departments, even individual lawyers do day in and day out, it's read. You have to ensure that you have history, precedent, context, all the stuff around a case, around a possible case, even around a, you know, a motion, a pleading, a verdict, whatever, a decision. So you need full context around that. And really getting full context is ingesting a lot of reading. So imagine like an English lit class on steroids, and that's your every day. So rather than doing all of this reading, we're getting to a place, and we are at a place where computers can do a lot of that reading for you and can synthesize the knowledge into sort of like their own brain, into an AI.
So a little Sherlock Holmes on your legal team, I guess.
Exactly.
keep searching and finding the little details. So
the needles in the haystack. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, of course, that comes with time savings, which, surprise, surprise, also comes with some money savings, savings.
Here's the advantage of time savings and understanding ROI when you're in the legal business. Most legal professionals have billables. If I've saved you 20 hours of work that month, we can attribute that almost exactly to what your ROI is, right? So you can almost do a one-to-one calculation for most professional legal individuals.
I mean, like, well, faster results, I guess, happier clients, because you're probably improving your outcome, and potentially a little time for lawyers to enjoy maybe a cup of coffee or sort. So win-win-win, I guess. I'm going to start with the FESTA results again. So FESTA results, saving money, happier clients, and maybe some little break for lawyers to have a cup of coffee, I guess.
Everybody wants a cup of coffee.
So, I mean, let's get slightly more sentimental now. Like, sentiment analysis is a big thing today. Everybody talks about it and so on. I'm just curious about, like, NLP deciphering emotions in legal content. Does it make sense?
It's not. So the sentiment analysis isn't always about the feeling or the emotion, or like, that's not exclusively what sentiment means. Sentiment meaning in a general piece of text, getting you to intent, right? So it's sort of like the purpose of that text, as well as the positive negative, which was, if you go back to like very rudimentary tutorials on NLP, that's usually what people do first, is like take a tweet and ensure that it's positive or negative, or the language is positive. Yeah. That's really good for, usually for like moderation of text, which is something that's been done for a long time. Now, when you're trying to discover intent and meaning in text, what you want to do is understand the sentiment of entire sentences, the sentiment of entire paragraphs. And that's much more advanced than the typical sentiment analysis that people have done, where it is like good tweet, bad tweet, or evil tweet, yeah, mean tweet, all those things. It's really more like, oh, this paragraph or this clause in this document relates to my overtime rates on, yeah, this collective bargaining agreement, or it relates to vacation rates, or this is a warrant on a specific action in your MSA. So you start understanding and classifying better, not just through sentiment, but really through more advanced NLP techniques generally, which, yeah, is the NLU part. It's a lot of the NLU.
Oh, okay. I mean, like, it seems like a legal therapist. But I mean, like, it's not just about crunching numbers, it's about also tuning to the mannerisms and the nuances of language, in a sense, and particularly the human side of law, I guess.
That's right. I mean, if you think to like the most prevalent natural language programs that exist are generally in English right now. And mm-hmm. if you try to do a lot of things with a differently structured language than English, and you haven't fed it the right training text, and it hasn't seen a lot of, let's say you're now trying to train it on like Flemish, but you haven't given it any Flemish information, it's going to just give you garbage, right? Because it's, yeah, like garbage in, garbage out. So right now we are in a world that, for our Anglo-Saxon brethren who like to speak English and do business in English and all this stuff, it's sort of, you know, you get to be in lead, you get to get all these programs and all these AIs first, because it just so happens that it's the Western world who's creating a lot of these advanced programs, more, yeah, so than anyone else. Yeah.
So that leads me to modeling, because I think that's a big part of that understanding as well, like categorization of data, and of course making lawyers' lives easier. So how does that play a game into e-discovery?
So generally, if you're looking at the typical day of a lawyer, if they're working on, you know, let's say a case of some sort, and they're trying to put together some motion or some pleading, they're going to have a lot of historical written context about that case, mm-hmm. that person, yeah, maybe even the courthouse, the prosecutors, all of that. So there is a method where you can, and this is what we do very well, you can create what are sort of little dossiers or memories or brains of each individual actor or each individual part of that. So you could say, my discovery is this brain. The prosecutor that I believe that I'm going to have to litigate against is this brain. My witnesses are this brain, whatever, right? So, yeah, then you can start discussing the case with each of those individuals in our system as if they were present. So because we're going to know a lot of the attributes and a lot of the things that they've written, including their decisions, their other litigations, their other motions and pleadings, possibly court decisions as well, we can then start to understand, oh, well, we believe that this prosecutor will go along this line of questioning, do this kind of thing. We believe that your expert witness will do well on these kind of questions and may fail here. And we believe that your actual defendant will be this or that and be able to answer this stuff well or not. So that starts giving you like superb context.
It's like a, so you're basically giving like a little guide into the, kind of a digital wilderness. Like you're basically deciphering the code before it's even happening in a sense.
Plausibly. Like I like to think of it almost like our own version of Metaverse without any graphics.
There you go.
Really, like you're creating all these avatars of your case or whatever it is that you're working on. You know, you could be looking at, you know, board meetings and trying to understand specifically how will my board question my decisions next time that I go there, which is a big deal for a lot of executives. So there are applications across the board as to how you train, like what you give the brains, what you train it with, and then what you ask of it, right? So just imagine a thesis defense or anything along those lines. You can have a lot of information about the way that people are going to ask you questions and how you should be answering them so that you best answer the questions and get the result that you want.
And I believe that's becoming even more intuitive over the years, like mapping more sets of data different in the different ways and so on. Like what's next from here?
Well, I mean, even that mode of working with tech, like text data and understanding it, that is currently only available in Apigee Suite. It's something that we do for expert witness training, basically.
Yeah.
This is not yet really prevalent in the market, which is nice. I mean, we have first mover advantage and hopefully the market responds well. What we've seen is that people are creating more and more larger and larger large language models. Although there comes a point at which, you know, you have so many data points that it becomes cumbersome to even train. And you see every large company is doing this sort of training, and now smaller companies are doing it, and open source versions are starting to pop up. So large language models are themselves becoming way more prevalent. And then as they become more prevalent, just like AI has over the last decade or so, you get more people working on it. And then that snowballs into, it just becomes an inflection point. It snowballs to a point where so many people are working on it that it becomes really, really good, really, really fast. And we're hoping that the really, really good, really, really fast starts to happen as we also pick up steam and as our clients really start to enjoy the work we're doing with them.
So more basically everything, like integrations, better processing, and basically the whole environment being benefited by more players in the game, I guess. See?
The crux of it all will happen as people start using it and understanding the power that's behind it. You want a system that is similar to ours because you want it to prepare all the work for you and get everything ready so that you can basically just like get in there and get the answers you want rather than doing all the work to get those answers. And that's a really good AI system that sort of prescribes to you what you should have known or what you ought to have known, rather than you asking it questions and trying to get to a place where, oh, well, I need to know this bit of information. So that's what we're working towards, is the prescriptive part of it and really understanding what you will need to know, not what you want to ask it.
Well, I guess exciting times ahead. I guess lawyers be tuned, and kind of NLP is paving basically the way for how the future of legal landscape is going to be. So, I mean, this brings us to the end of this episode. Victor, I want to thank you for taking some time off your vacation. And yeah, I hope you can enjoy a little bit of, the lobsters and the sun of PEI with your family. And yeah, I'm sorry for that, but we cannot let our listeners also without, your tips and hints for the week. So yeah, until the next episode, I guess. Don't forget to hit subscribe and join us for more tech adventures. Until next time, keep exploring this crazy, ever-changing world of tech and law. Yeah, it's me signing off.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Take
Bye.
care.